Morning, today's daf in Krisus is Chaf Hey. We're in Chaf Dalam and Vez. We're starting halfway down the Amud of the two dots. We're starting at the heading of Rebbe Elazar Amar Yikrov. This takes us back to the Mishnah. We started the sixth parak of the Masechta, the sixth and final parak. The Masechta here is dedicated to discussion back to Hashem Talui. Hashem Talui, a big part of our Masechta. Person possibly violated Navera that requires the Kari's punishment. And he is, at this point in time, unclear whether or not he violated. There were two pieces of fat in front of him. One was chalav and the other was shuman. He ate one of those two pieces. He doesn't know which piece he ate, so he's now on the hook to bring a special karban. The karban Hashem Tole which we discussed. It is such an interesting karban. Because unlike other karbanas, which are either going to be mechaper or going to be machshir, or just simply a nedava, this karban Hashem Tole is just simply here as a stopgap measure. It is there to prevent him and to protect him from any kind of yisurim until he knows definitively one way or another. So what we've been discussing in the Mishnah here is what happens when he sets aside his karban Hashem Talui because he thinks he violated an avera, and then he learns otherwise. He discovers that either he did violate the avera or he didn't violate the avera. Either way, but now he's on, no longer in a state of suffix, but now he's in a state of vadai. So what becomes of his karban that he set aside? So the Mishnah describes it as we go through various stages of the karban. So the Mishnah first talks about a case where the discovery comes at shelo nishcha, before shechita. So what becomes of the karban then? So the Mishnah presents three opinions on this matter. Yesterday we discussed extensively the first two opinions, Rav Meir and the Chachamim. Rav Meir is of the opinion that year of be'eder, yetze of year be'eder, the animal just simply goes free. You were only makdish this karban on a contingency. The contingency is that I was a suffix. Turns out that there was no suffix. So the Kedusha just simply goes away. It's kind of like the Gemara does not use this terminology, but it's kind of like Hektish Patos. Not exactly, but something similar to that. The Chachamim, on the other hand, said that the Karban has Kedusha, you were Makdishit. The Gemara's terminology that we saw again and again yesterday was Libo Nokfo. Your heart keeps pounding. You are really setting aside as a result of your anxiety. And so therefore, you gave it full Kedusha. And as a result of that, it now has Kedusha Seguf. Problem is, you no longer need it. So what do? You allow it to graze, develop a blemish, sell it, proceeds are going to go to a Olas Nedava, as we discussed yesterday. There's a third opinion, which we have not yet touched upon, which we're doing right now, and that's the Shita of Rebbe Elazar. In the Mishnah of Rebbe Elazar, Amar Yikrov. So the third opinion, well, if you think about it, you know where we're headed to. The first opinion is that it goes free. Second opinion is that I'm going to redeem it. And third opinion, you actually offer it. You continue to offer it. Rebbe Elazar Amar Yikrov, Shimeno Baal Chetzu, Harizda Baal Chet Acher. So the opinion of Rebbe Elazar is that, look, you'll bring it. Why? Look, this chet, you're in the clear. But there are other chetim that you did. And so this could be applied towards another chet. Now, this is going to...
As what? As a duva?
Huh?
As a common duva?
Ah, perfect.
As
I'm so happy you asked. So the so it sounds like Rebbe Elazar says that, look, we'll just simply apply to another chet. Now, we're going to learn later this morning a Mishnah. It's coming up. It's on Chaf Hei Amud Aleph. And the Mishnah is going to teach us the sheet of Rebbe Elazar. Now, the sheet of Rebbe Elazar is that a Hashem Talui is an Adava. It serves as a voluntary offering. Although, as we'll see together in the Mishnah, the sheet of Rebbe Elazar, there are actually two versions of the sheet. The first version of the sheet is the most absolute version, which is that the Hashem Talui is just simply a carbon Adava. Which means that you can offer it anytime you want, and according to the first understanding of Rebbe Elazar, you don't even need a reason. In other words, it's a nedava, it's just simply a voluntary offering that can be born at any point in time. It really challenges our understanding of what is an Hashem Talui according to this opinion within Rabbi Eliezer, but that's shita number one. There is a second shita of Rebbe Elazar, which again we're going to see together later this morning. It's the Baba Ben Buta version, if you will, which you'll see why I say that. Which is that according to Rebbe Elazar, so it can come for a chet, pretty much any chet. And seemingly, you don't even have to be sure that there was some chet that you need to be brought for. So in other words, it's for a suffix, but not the definitive suffix that we've been discussing throughout this Masechta. Two pieces of fat in front of you, one shuman, the other is chalav. I ate one, I don't know which one I ate. It does not have to be that definitive a suffix. Now, I know that expression is a little confusing. But it doesn't have to be that, or I'll say it better, it doesn't have to be that formal a suffix. It could be just a much looser suffix. That is the second version of Rebbe Elazar.
Like
now,
like what?
Well, we're going to see, we're going to give examples later. Okay, it's good. No, it's good questions. So So now when our Mishnah says that this Hashem told you that you no longer needed. So what did our Mishnah, which version did our Mishnah subscribe to? Because our Mishnah said, well, we'll simply apply it towards another chet. Is that the first version of Rav Elazar, the Nadava version? Or does it sound more like the second version? So obviously, it sounds more like the second version. And all the Gemara is going to do right now is just simply clarify that very point that I made. So the Rav Elazar, l'amelich chet ha, Rav Elazar, Hashem told you b'Nadava asay. So first the Gemara says, if we're subscribing to Rav Elazar, doesn't Rav Elazar view the Hashem Talu as a carbon adava, which means just bring it? Ditnan, the Mishnah teaches us, Rav Elazar Amrei Miznadev Adav Hashem Talu B'chol Yom. A person can be Miznadev. Miznadev Nadava, a donation. He can donate one every single day. I'm Rav Ashi, Rav Elazar to Amru Lo, who... No, it's not version number one of Rav Elazar, it's version number two. The Gemara here describes it as Amru Lo. The Gemara over here is quoting from the Mishnah, which we're going to see later on. The exchange between Baba Ben Buta and the Chachamim, but right now we could simply call it version number two. The second version of Rav Elazar, Nam, we're going to see later in the Mishnah. We're going to see it today. Ela Omrim Lo, I'm Tein Achi Tekanas the Beis Safek. Wait till there's another Safek that rolls around. Again, the Safek does not have to be in Issacharis. The Safek doesn't have to be as formal, but there's got to be at least some Safek that you possibly violate in Avera. Then you could bring this this Hashem Talu and apply it to that carbon. So in our Mishnah, when our Mishnah is presenting the Shita Rav Elazar, it is presenting Shita Rav Elazar as understood as version number two, the Baba Ben Buta version of Rabbi Elazar. Continuing in the Gemara, in Mishnah 2, in Mishnah Ishcha, no doubt. Okay, now, in the Mishnah, we just simply go down the process of the Hakrava. So the first case of the Mishnah is that you discover before Shita. Okay, good, and the three opinions that resulted. Then the Mishnah goes on to discuss, and what if you discover after Shechita? After Shechita, but before you go any further in the Avoda process. Avoda, of course, requires four Dalet Avodos. There is Shechita, there's Kabbalah Sadam, Holacha, and then Zrika. So you discover that you no longer needed it immediately after Shechita. What then? So the Mishnah tells us, so we have to dispose of the carbon. Because the carbon never was needed. Meaning, and now that we shechted it, but it turns out that we shechted what was not a carbon. And so therefore, the blood poured down the canal. There's a drainage system in the base of Mikdash. So you're going to pour it down the canal, and the meat, you'll burn it. The Gemara is bothered by a technical issue. The meat is going to be burned. So what do we see from here? Now, it's chulin. Why is the Gemara here calling it chulin? Well, because it is. You did set aside as a carbon, but it turns out you didn't need it. Now that you didn't need it, so comes out now that your hektesh is no longer hektesh, and so therefore it's chulin, but it's chulin that was already shechted. What is the proper disposal method of chulin that was shechted in the Azara? So if I just had our Mishnah, I would have said proper disposal is burning it. But the Gemara says, but we know otherwise. Uriminu, Hashem Vada Enokain, Ashlo Nishcha Yatzav Yira Be'eder, Mishnah Nishcha Harizei Kaver. Our very Mishnah, we don't have to go that far into Shas. We could just stay right on our Mishnah. Our very Mishnah talks about the Hashem Vada, not the Hashem Talui. The Hashem Vada is contrasted to the Hashem Talui. The Hashem Vada, which ends up not being needed because you discovered the charges against you are simply not correct. You did not violate the Isra that required the Karban Hashem. Therefore, the Karban Hashem is just a regular chulin animal. You shechted it. What does our Mishnah teach us? You have to bury it. So the proper disposal method of a chulin that was shechted in the Azara is burial. So we're confused. The Hashem Talui disposal was Srefa. The Hashem Vanai disposal was burial. That's confusing. I'm Rav Elazar, Tavra, Misha Shanazu, Lo Shanazu. So Rav Elazar's response now, not to be too confused, Rav Elazar here, the Amora, Rav Elazar, tells us that, okay, what can I tell you? Our Mishnah represents not one opinion, but multiple opinions on this issue of what is proper disposal method for Chulin Ba'azara, to Machlokes, Hatanaim. Some Tanaim say Srefa, some Tanaim say Kvura. So the Gemara offers another suggestion, another way to respond. And that is as follows. When it comes to the Hashem Vadai, you think you definitively are required to bring a carbon. That's Hashem Vadai. Turns out that everything was wrong. Right? Whatever the assumptions were in terms of requiring you to bring that carbon, they were all wrong. So now this is totally erroneous. Since it's totally erroneous, So the Ashram Va'adeh, which is no longer needed, Mamish is Chulin. And so therefore, ye cover. It's to be buried. Ashram Talui, consider. What is the Ashram Talui? Ashram Talui, I may violate an Avera. Oh, I may have. Okay, so I'm Maktish an animal because I may have violated an Avera. Interesting, but if you think about it, your insistence now that this animal is a Karban is actually a stronger insistence. Since it's built on a Suffolk, I may have violated the Avera, therefore, I'm definitely going to be Maktish as Karban. You learn later that you didn't violate the Avera. Okay, but anyway, I was being Maktish it on a doubt, on a Suffolk. So anyway, while I imbued it with Kedusha, I did throw on a Suffolk. Okay, so now I don't need it. But what we could suggest is it still has some sort of residual kedusha. Asham talo mitoksha libonokfo gomer umaktisho. Since you were maktisha because of anxiety and stress, and so therefore the kedusha is going to be a kedusha, even when you discover later on I didn't need it. Yeah, but I wasn't maktisha because of charges or of assumptions, but rather because of my anxiety, and so therefore the kedusha stays. Elikasha asham vade al asham vade kasha. So the Gemara says, okay, but even as we resolve the difference between Hashem Talui versus Hashem Vadai, the Gemara says, I'll pit another two Mishnahs against one another. Diktani, Harizei Kaver. So the Gemara says, look at our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said the Hashem Vadai, not the Hashem Talui. The Hashem Vadai, which you discover later on, is no longer needed. So you cover that, you have to bury. Ema Seifa. And now, again, I don't have to go anywhere else in Shas. Stay right on our Mishnah. Habasu Yetzel Abesas Reifa. So what happens after Zrikas Adam? After Zrikas Adam, now you discover that the Ashram was no longer needed. So the meat is to be taken out to Beis HaSreifa. So we have now a discrepancy in our Mishnah within Ashram Vadai. One part of our Mishnah tells us Yikaver, and the other part of the Mishnah says Sreifa. So HaVadai Tavra Misha Shanazu, Lo Shanazu. So the Gemara says, okay, here, I'm just going to tell you that to Machlokas Atanayim. And whoever says Yikaver is obviously not subscribing to Sreifa. That's one possibility. Rav Ashi Amar. Rav Ashi offers another possibility. Skip parentheses. Mishim de mischazei kezevech pasol. So another way to describe or make the distinction is as follows. You shechted the animal. Now it turns out that the animal is an animal that's chulin. But you only discover that after shechita. As far as perception is concerned, you shecht an animal, and I'll add a point. Not only do you shecht the animal, but you also sprinkle the blood of the animal. And then a report comes in that you didn't need the carbon altogether. All right, but during the Shechita process and during the Zrikas Adam process, it certainly looked like a Karban. So it turns out that it wasn't a Karban, because you learned otherwise, but it certainly looked like a Karban. So from a perception issue, it looks like now a Karban HaPasol. It's not, but it looks that way. And so therefore, Sreifa. Once it looks enough like a Karban, so then you have this perception created, so therefore the proper disposal is going to be Sreifa. If on the other hand, it's just Chulin Bazara, so you cover that only needs to be buried.
But
Chachamim Rav Meir are arguing about Nashim Talui. Here, in these later parts of the Mishnah, talking about Nashim Vadai. And Nashim Vadai, for whatever reason, we were wrong. And so now it was a gross error. You thought you owed a Nashim Vadai, turns out you didn't. And now we're just talking about proper disposal method. So the Gemara says that if you shecht it and sprinkle the blood, where now it looks like you did a carbon. Again,
the meat will be good, according to Chachamim.
Okay, fine. That's fine. But that's the Ashram Talui.
Right.
But the question turns on the Ashram Vadai. Okay. Nizrak Adam Abasu Yecham. Okay, once you do Zrikas Adam, so then the meat can be eaten. This is going back to our Mishnah, and specific to the case, we're still back in the case of Ashram Vadai. I'm sorry, Ashram Talui. Nizrak Adam, if you go back to the Mishnah, now we're talking about the Ashram Talui, and we're talking about, you discover that there's no longer a Suffolk. Suffolk's been resolved. So we talked about before Shechita. We talked about after Shechita. Now we're talking about after Zrikas Adam. So what happens? What happens is, Kohanim enjoy themselves by having and sitting down, and well, not sitting down. It's in the Azara. Okay, so standing and eating flesh. And
even according to Rabbi
Meir. Presumably. Now, why would that be? Now, the answer is very simple. You brought this carbon because of a suffix. The carbon now has been brought over a suffix. Now, it happens to be that immediately after the Zrikas Adam, the suffix's been resolved, but so what? The carbon was brought for a suffix. Mission accomplished. It's achieved its goal. So, Nizrik Adam Abasa Yachal, the Gemara makes exactly this point. V'amai, ha'avila yidia. The Gemara says, I'm a little astounded. How can the Kohanim didn't eat the carbon? The carbon is no longer needed. The Gemara says, no, the carbon was needed. Right? The assumption is wrong. Once you're bringing the carbon on a suffix, and the carbon is brought over that suffix, mission accomplished. Amarava, amakra. V'hulo yada, v'nislach lo. Right? As long as he didn't know while the carbon's being offered, so then it provides slicha. V'aha lo havyela yidia, b'sha slicha. While you're going through the process of the avoda, the shchita, Kabbalah Saddam, the Holacha, the Zrika, as long as there was a lack of idea through all that process, now the carbon has been brought and mission accomplished. It's achieved its exact purpose for being brought over Suffolk, and in fact it was. After Zrika, you learned otherwise? Okay, that's good. That's fine. Right. Perfect. Exactly. Meaning, well, if we learn that he doesn't need the carbon altogether, okay. But if we learn that you need the carbon, another carbon. Exactly correct. Rabbi Yossi Amar Afilo Hadam Bekos. There's the Shita of Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi says the blood could be in the bowl, and that would be good enough. Now, when I read the Mishnah all the way back on Friday. So when I read the Mishnah on Friday, so I quipped, and I said that as far as Rabbi Yossi is concerned, the blood's in the bowl. You didn't do the Zrika yet. It's Ke'ilu. It's as if you did the Zrika. Now, this sounds like the Shita of Rabbi Shimon. This, if you go back to Friday, it's what I said. It sounds like the Shita of Rabbi Shimon. And Rabbi Shimon says that kol ha'omed lizarik hizarik damik. As long as something stands to be sprinkled, now that means omed lizarik means I'm just but one step away. Blood's in the bowl. I'm just but one step away of doing zrika. So kol ha'omed lizarik hizarik damik. As the Gemara is going to point out, that's an incomplete answer. It's a good answer, but it's incomplete. Why? When you say kol ha'omed lizarik hizarik damik, that means that we're planning on doing the sprinkling. Over here, the blood's in the bowl. Someone taps you on the shoulder and says, not needed. So now, are you going to do the sprinkling? Well, you don't need to. So you only say kol ha'omed lizarik hizarik damei when we know we're going to go through the Zrika process. Over here, if you discover at this point in time that you didn't need to bring the carbon, we stop the process right now. So kol ha'omed is a nice way to explain it, but it's really incomplete. And the Gemara is going to make exactly this point. Rabbi Yossi Amar Afilo Adam Bekos, Rabbi Yossi Amar Yizarik Ha'avila Yediyah B'Shaslicha. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. You've learned now that you don't need it, and you're in process. After the process is done, so it's good, as we just established. But you're in process. Amareva Rabbi Yossi, Savalaka Rabbi Shimon, Damar Kol Ha'omed Lizarik Hizarik Damei. So the Gemara says, okay, so we can align Rabbi Yossi together with Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says, Kol Ha'omed. Rabbi Yossi is subscribing to this idea. So the Gemara here says it's an incomplete answer. Amen, Damar Rabbi Shimon, Bemid Damar Lizarik. Yes. If we plan on sprinkling, so then we could say that, look, if we're only one step behind, so then we could forecast. And it's an easy forecast, meaning I have the blood in the bowl, I'm going to sprinkle, I got to sprinkle, that's fine. Avahai ain't omed lizarek. But over here, that's not true. Blood in the bowl, and now you discover you don't need the carbon, we're not gonna sprinkle it. So putting Rabbi Yossi together with Rabbi Shimon, applying the principle of kol ha'omed, it's incomplete. Amri ben Marava Kasav Rav Yossi Klisharz Mekashim Baos Apsul Bitzchilali Karev. So what we're going to do is we're going to have to supplement the answer. And the way we're going to supplement the answer is as follows. You have blood put into a Klisharis. Now the Klisharis has a power, has a koach, right? Like we discussed back in Zvachim, the Mizbeach is Mekadesh. Mizbeach is able to, once something goes onto the Mizbeach allows it has a certain tolerance level where, even though it shouldn't have gone onto the Mizbeach, okay, it could stay there. Right, so various disqualifications. Shouldn't have gone on, but it can stay there. And then the Gemara back in Zvachim talked about the scope of what degree can something stay on the Mizbeach. We're going to say the same thing regarding the Klisharis. Klisharis also has a certain koach. It's Mikadesh as a psul. You have something that now goes into the Klisharis. Now at this point in time, right, word comes in, carbon wasn't needed anymore. Okay, but the blood's now in the bowl. And the bowl's a Klisharis. So at that point in time, the Klisharis is able to invest enough Kedusha. So now we can go forward. And we can sprinkle the blood onto the Mizbeach. So you see that we are now, even though we are one step away from Zrika, but because of... Now, it's not clear whether the Gemara is using both principles. Not sure about that. But we're going to take the principle of Kol Ha'omed Lizarik Hizarik Damei. And we'll take the principle also of Klisharis Mikashim Bosa Psul. And when you take those two together... And so it's as if now the process has been done. And therefore the Kohanim can eat the carbon. Asham Vade Enokain. We're going now on in the Mishnah. Now the Mishnah makes a lot of contrasting karbanos, meaning after clarifying what the halach is regarding the Hashem Talui, then we talk about how it contrasts to an Hashem Vadai, it contrasts to Egla Arufa. So there are a number of contrasting points that we learned together in the Mishnah. We're going to be spending a lot of time right now with the Egla Arufa. Egla Arufa, okay, last week's Parsha, now I'm going to go back two Parshas ago. Okay, we just finished Kiseitze. Now that was quick. So back in Parsha Shoftim. So what happens is that a body was discovered. It was somewhere near a city. We're going to determine which is the closest city. Once we do so that city is going to take a certain amount of responsibility. That responsibility is going to manifest itself where the elders of the city are going to come out with an egla, with a calf, asher shelo ubala. In other words, it wasn't worked, similar to the paraduma, and they're going to decapitate the calf by nachal esan. And the calf now, and they're also going to declare a formula of Yadena lo shafchu. The elders say, we didn't do the killing. Right, Rashi over there asked the question, you think they did it? Are they really suspects? But what it means is that they're taking a certain amount of responsibility for the fact that there was murder that occurred proximate to their town. Anyway, the Egla Rufa is going to be Asur Behana. Now, obviously, it's not a karban. This is outside the Beis HaMikdash. It's not shechita, it's decapitation. It's clearly not a karban. But to a certain degree, it's an avoda. I'm using that term very lightly over here, right? It's a rite, R-I-T-E. And so with this, the animal now is going to be asur behana. And what if you learned about the victim and his murderer before the process is done? So that's what we learned back in the Mishnah. That's why it contrasts. And it contrasts beautifully, by the way, with the Ashram Talui. Tosis makes this point. The Ashram Talui is over a Suffolk. What is the Agla Rufa? Also over a Suffolk. We don't know who the murderer is. So it really is it's a good contrast, a good comparison. We don't know which. Well, we'll learn which city, but yes. But we don't know who the murderer is. So the Mishnah tells us that when it comes to the Agla Rufa, Ashlo Nerefa Tetevitira Be'eder. Before the actual decapitation, you discover, okay, calf goes free. To be eaten at a later time. Right. And mishenerpa, and after decapitation, tikaber bimkoma. So then it's going to get buried because, again, it achieved exactly what it was supposed to. And the Mishnah says that. I'm just rereading the Mishnah. Shal safik ba mitchila kipra sfeika v'alchala. It achieved exactly what we were supposed to do. The Gemara is going to have a discussion / debate. When does the Egla Rufa become Asur Behana? I'll give you the easiest answer. let me throw out the first stone. I'm going to give the easiest answer. It becomes Asur Behana at the point of decapitation. That's the easiest answer. It's really the action point. And not only that, I just reread the Mishnah. Certainly sounds that way from the Mishnah. Okay, despite the fact that that's the easiest answer, it's going to be a subject to a machlokus. Itmar. Egla Rufa Imasai Nesaris, at what point in time does it become Asr? Rav Hamnuna Amar Michayim. Rav Hamnuna says that it becomes Asr even while the animal's alive. Now, we have to draw a line in the sand. When? We will. The Gemara is going to do so. Rava Amar La'achar Arifa. Now, Rav is of the opinion that it's going to be after the Arifa, after decapitation. Meaning decapitation is going to be the point where it becomes Asr Barna. Okay, now, Bishlam Rava Mi'idan Di'isavid Be'maisa. So the Gemara says, for Rava, really, it's so easy. It makes so much sense. In other words, that's the Maisa. That's an action point. And so therefore, that's that point in time that's going to be Asur Behana. Ela Rav Hamnuna Me'emasai. But according to Rav Hamnuna, you're telling me that it's going to be Asur Behana while it's alive. Okay, but when?
Designated.
Okay, good. Good. You have an opinion. Right? The Gemara is also... the Gemara is going to say. So Amar Rav Yanai, we're on the top of Chafei Amud Aleph. Amar Rav Yanai Gvul Shamati Ba V'Shachachti. So Rav Yanai says, look, I heard it, right? I was in Shir, we were talking about this, and I heard it, but I forgot it. Okay, human moment. V'niz bin Chavirai L'meimar. But then, I consulted with colleagues, and they reminded me. Yiridasa L'Nachal Eisan Osrasa. The moment it makes its descent into Nachal Eisan. Nachal Eisan is some chasm, some sort of valley in which it's stony, it's rocky, you can't plant. No, I don't know if it's a location. It's just a description. It's an adjective. So you read Asa l'nechal Eisan, Osrasa. At that point in time, it becomes Asar. So it's really, it's a little bit challenging even as we say this, meaning the moment it starts, you know, going down, dropping in altitude, it's not perfectly clear, but basically somewhere at the beginning of the march, right, as it's going down to Nachal Eisan. Amarav Hamnun Amanaminala did not. Now, if you have two opinions amongst the Amorayim, so we got to find support for this somewhere in the Mishnayos and the Brisos, meaning okay, the Amorayim have opinions, and right, I'm going to guess and hopefully correctly, they have a Misora in terms of where these opinions come from. But now let's see if we could source this going back to Mishnayos and Brisos. So we're going to turn back to a Mishnah all the way back in Chulin. Now remember, back in Chulin we discussed the Yisr Vosav Espeno. One is not allowed to shecht a mother and its offspring on the same day. It's an Isra Min HaTorah. The fifth parak of Chulin discussed that Isser, the entirety of it. And the Mishnah over there discusses the following. You only buy the Isser of Osa Vesbeno if it's Shechita and Shechita. I shecht the mother and I shecht the offspring. If I do something other than Shechita, so then you didn't violate the Isser. If I kill the mother and then shecht the offspring, that is not an Avera. The Avera is only when you shecht both. That's what we learned back in the fifth parak of Chulin. What if you shecht it, but it's not a halachic shechita? Like what, for example? According to Rabbi Shimon, right, the shechita of Rabbi Shimon, shechita she'ina ruya, lav shmei shechita. Let's say you shecht, but you can't eat the animal for whatever halachic reason. So if you shecht something and you can't eat it, i.e. it's asar ba'anah, according to Rabbi Shimon, that's not shechita. It doesn't qualify as shechita. You did the act of shechita, you did it perfectly, but because you can't eat the meat, that's not shechita. That's shechitas Rabbi Shimon. With that in mind, now let's consider the following. Let's learn the Mishnah again in Chulin. Hashochei paras chatos b'shura niska ve'egla rufa. Let's say you shecht. It was either the paraduma or the shura niska or the egla rufa. They have in common, all three of them, that it's aser behana'a. You shouldn't have shechted any of them, but you shechted them, it's aser behana'a. Well, that's not true, by the way. In other words, by some of them, you're supposed to shecht. But by the paraduma. But anyway, point being over here the following, that because they're all asar banah, so they are shechitas but don't result in eating. So, Rabbi Shimon poter v'chachamim mechayvim. Are you, and you shech the offspring, right, an important addition, and you shech the offspring. So, did you violate osav esbano? According to the chachamim, yes you did. According to Rabbi Shimon, you didn't violate the esar. Why? Because all these shechitas are shechitas she'ena ruya, and therefore doesn't qualify as a shechita. Now, Bishlam l'didi d'amin ha'mechayim b'ha'pligi, Rabbi Shimon v'Rabbanan, and Rabbi Shimon sefer shechita she'en ruya lo shma shechita. V'Rabbanan amir shechita she'en ruya shma shechita. Now, according to Rav Amnuna says, for me, the Mishnah makes perfect sense. Because one of the examples was Egla Rufa. And this example of Egla Rufa, I shecht in Egla Rufa. And it already was Asar Ba'ana. Question, how can the Egla Rufa be already Asar Ba'ana? I didn't do the decapitation yet. So Rav Amnuna says, because just its descent into Nachal Eisan, that's enough to give it the status of Egla Rufa and to make it Asar Bahana. So if you're me, the Mishnah makes perfect sense. But Ella Yamart Lachar Arifa, my pater Rabbi Shimon Shechita Ruyahi. But you, Rava, say that when does the Egla Rufa have status Egla Rufa? That's only at the point of decapitation. Meaning prior to that, it doesn't have the status of Egla Rufa. So according to you, Rava, you shech the Egla Rufa. It's good. Yeah, it's not Asar Ba'ana. So how did you understand that Mishnah over there? It's a good question. Now maybe you'll tell me that, well, maybe Rava says that, look, I know the Torah's instructions is you have to do Arifa, decapitation along the back of the neck. But maybe what Rava's going to suggest is that, you know what also would be acceptable? Not Egla Arufa, but Egla Shechuta. You could shech the Egla. In other words, what's the difference? Back of the neck, front of the neck. Maybe it's the same. And so if that's true, and that's a big if that's true, so now it comes out that with the Shechita, I also rendered it an Egla Rufa. And then the Mishnah would work out perfectly. So by shechting it and assuming that Shechita and Arifa are one and the same, meaning it's not the same process, but it achieves the same purpose of making this animal an Egla Rufa, so then we're good. So now we have this animal being Aser, and because it's a Shechita Shein Aruya, so Rabbi Shimon says you're not violating Osav Esbano. Gemara says that's just simply an unacceptable answer. V'atanan kasher bepara pasul be'egla arufa. Pasul bepara kasher be'egla arufa. Par b'shechita, kshera, be'arifa psula. Egla be'arifa kshera b'shechita psula. We just know. In other words, the Braisa taught us. With the paraduma, you shecht it. Not arifa. With the agla rufa, arifa. Not shechita. So, no. It's just simply not a tenable position. Ishtik. So at that point in time, Rava walks out, and Rava doesn't have an answer. You're right. The Mishnah does fit in much better with the sheet of Rav Hamnuna. Labasa nafak amar. Now, it always works out this way. You walk out, right? You were stumped. And as you're walking out, oh, here's what I should have said. And that's what Rav is thinking. Here's what I should have said. My time alo amin alei de Rabbi Shimon savre egla b'shchita k'shera. Like, couldn't I have suggested that according to Rabbi Shimon, you can shech the egla rufa, and that the shchita of the egla rufa is just the same as the arifa of the egla rufa. V'rav amnuna amalcha lo nishtam etan d'shmeim egla b'shchita k'shera. D'tema Rabbi Shimon hi. And but they point out to Rava, you know, even if you go back in and even if you give that answer is going to get rejected. We do not have any Tana who says that shechita of an egla rufa is acceptable. And so there's no way of suggesting, oh, maybe Rabbi Shimon holds like that Tana. There is no such Tana. Egla arufa must be done by arifa. It is not to be done with shechita. It's simply not acceptable answer.
Why doesn't he use Rabbi Shimon's concept? Why wouldn't he do that?
First of all, Rabbi Shimon has limited number of times that he applies that principle. Right. I'm not sure if we're in our position. We can just generalize and simply apply it to other principles. But only if it's correct.
Well,
the Gemara, it's a fair suggestion, but it has to be, you know, it's got to be sourced. The Gemara now makes another suggestion. I'm sorry, Rava has a Mishnah supporting his position. So, and Rava says, look, I'm going to support my position that the Agla Rufa gets the status of Agla Rufa at the point of decapitation. How do I know that? Our Mishnah. Right, reread the first Mishnah of the sixth parak of Krisus, i.e. our Mishnah, and you see it very clearly in our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says, at what point does it make a difference when you discover, right, who the murderer was, and now it's no longer a suffix? If I find before the arifa, animal goes free. Mm-hmm. If I find after the arifa, okay, we did the arifa. Okay, it's the simplest reading of our Mishnah. It really does support Rava. Mm-hmm. So how do you understand the Mishnah of Rav Hamnuna? You say that it becomes an Egla Rufa as its descent into Nachal Eisan. So even if I discover before decapitation, according to you, Rav Hamnuna, as long as we're going down to Nachal Eisan, it has the status of Egla Rufa. So how are you making sense of the Mishnah? So Tani Ashelo Niras La Arifa. So okay, it's a little bit of a forced reading of the Mishnah, but we're going to defend Rav Hamnuna. What we could say is the Mishnah says it is Ra'oi. It is fit for Arifa, i.e., it's making its descent down to Nachal Eisan. Gemara says, okay, let's keep reading the Mishnah. Eima Seifa, Mishner Pati Kaver, Bim Koma, after Arifa, then you bury it. Again, simple reading of the Mishnah. Tini, the Gemara says again, we could force the following reading into the Mishnah. Mishneres La Arifa. When it's fit for Arifa, so then Tikaver, then it's going to be buried. Imke Neima Seifa, Shal Safik Ba Mitchila Kipra Sveka Vahachala. So then keep reading the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, and do you know why we're going to bury it after Arifa? Even though after the Arifa we discovered who the murderer was? Because it achieved its goal. And since it achieved its goal, so now we're going to bury it. Now, if we're going to go with your Pshat Rav Hamnuna, that we're talking about before the Arifa, it didn't achieve its goal. And the Mishnah says it did achieve its goal. So again, how do you read the Mishnah? So tonight, at this point in time, the Gemara now notes that you're right. The simplest reading of the Mishnah follows the position of Rava. That the in terms of the Egla Rufa, when does it get the status of Egla Rufa? It's going to be at the point of Arifa. That's really the easiest way to read our Mishnah. And it's almost like the Gemara has no other way to read our Mishnah. Okay, so now, what is the source of Rav Hamnuna? Because we do need a source for Rav Hamnuna. So the Gemara quotes the Braisa. D'tanya, Nemar Machshu Mechaper Bifnim, Nemar Machshu Mechaper Bechutz. You know, there are karbanos inside the Beis HaMikdash. And I'm going to use the term really lightly. They're karbanos outside the Beis HaMikdash. Not karbanos. But you'll see what we mean in just a moment. Now, karbanos that are machshir and mechaper. Right? Certain karbanos are machshir. They allow you to go into the Beis HaMikdash. Like the karbanos brought by Yoledes. And the karbanos brought by Mitzora. And many other examples of a karban which is a machshir. Mechaper, that's a karban chatas. That's a karban asham. Right, for an Aveira. Those are karbanos which are mechaper. You have that inside, you have that outside as well. Now, when I say you have karbanos outside, immediately, like, you should bristle at that suggestion. What do you mean you have karbanos outside?
You have to bring
right, yeah, right. In other words, that's shchut echut. You don't have karbanos outside. But you have karban-like items that are done outside. Well, I'll give examples in just a moment. Ma machshir mechaper amar bifnim asa bo machshir kemechaper av machshir mechaper amar bechutz asa machshir kemechaper. So inside, the two categories of karbanos, the machshir mechaper, are treated equally. The ones that are done outside as well also are going to be treated equally. Okay, it only begs the question. Good. And the Gemara now has finished its discussion, and now you understand. Well, what do we understand? What do we see from here? What are the karbanos that we're talking about that are done bechutz? How is it supporting Rav Hamnuna? Like a lot of fill in the blanks. Let's fill them in. Rashi points out over here that when we're talking about the machshir bechutz and the mechaper bechutz, so the machshir bechutz sipari mitzora. On day one of the mitzora process, so there are birds. One bird's going to be shechted, dipped into the live bird is going to be dipped into the blood of the shechted bird and sprinkled on the mitzora. That's the day one procedure. So it is, these birds are not karbanos, but they're carbon-like. They're part of the purification process of the mitzora. And so therefore, that's the machshir b'chutz. What's the mechaper b'chutz? So that we all know. The siyar mishtaleach. The goat that's sent away in Yom Kippur. That is a mechaper that's done outside. Again, it's not a carbon, but nevertheless, it is carbon-like. Remember, its beginnings in the Beis HaMikdash could have been chosen as a siyar l'Hashem, wasn't. Sirah Zazel, etc. So that's a mechaper b'chutz. What else is a mechaper b'chutz? Egla arufa. Egla arufa provides kapara, right? It's in the pasuk. Kaper la'amcha. So it provides kapara. So that is also a kapara that's done outside. So there are certain, again, I'm going to use the word rites, R-I-T-E. So there are certain rites that are done outside, which are serving as a machshir and serving as a mechaper. And now what we're saying is as follows. Just like the machshir mechaper inside are done in a uniform fashion, so too the ones that are done outside are also done in a uniform fashion. Now let's think about this in terms of our discussion, right? There may be other ramifications of this point, but just in terms of our discussion, and all I'm saying right now is what Rashi says. When it comes to Sirah Meshaleach, when does that have the status of Sirah Meshaleach? Well before it's sent off the cliff. In other words, it has the status of Sirah Meshaleach at the lottery, when it's assigned to be the Sirah Meshaleach. So we're going to say that that's true regarding the mechaper. It's also going to be true regarding our other mechaper b'chutz, i.e. the egla rufa. Its status of the egla rufa is going to be before the point of actual decapitation, meaning when it's being marched, right? That's when it's going to have the status. So in that regard now, we see from this brisa that the egla rufa is going to have its status even before the point of arifa. Mishnah begins. Reb Elazar Amar Misnadev Adam Ashen Tali Bechol Yom Uvechol Eis Shiyirtze. Hu Haya Nikra Asham Chasidim. So as I already forecasted earlier this morning, this Mishnah over here is going to be teaching us about the Ashem Talui and really the nature of the Ashem Talui, the categorization of the Ashem Talui. The first opinion that we're seeing together in the Mishnah is the Shita of Reb Elazar, which we saw earlier in our Perek, earlier in our Masecht as well. And now we get to see it again, and that is that the Ashem Talui is a carbon nedava. It's a voluntary offering. Now it is a little bit of, it bends the mind a little bit in terms of it's a voluntary offering, meaning it is a carbon Ashem, and up until now the way we presented it, it's coming because of a suffix, and not for a moment do I think that Reb Elazar wouldn't agree with all of the above. It's a carbon Ashem, and it comes for a suffix, but Reb Elazar also says that in terms of its category, it's a nedava. You want to bring an Ashem Talui, even if you have no reason to bring so? According to Reb Elazar, you may do so. Meaning, it comes for a suffix. It also comes because you simply woke up that morning thinking, today I'd like to bring an Ashem Talui.
Do they do smicha by that?
Presumably.
But the thing is that if they do smicha, they need to declare what they're doing it for, right?
Okay. I hear the question. I don't know. He refers to the carbon Ashem as an Ashem Chasidim. Right, pious individuals, meaning for you and I, or I'll just speak on behalf of myself. So for me, you know, at baseline level, if I don't need to bring the carbon, I'm not going to bring the carbon. But for the people who feel that, you know what, I want to go work on an extra level above, so for them, for the chassidim, so they'll bring the carbon asham. Not sure if it's the same chassidim who are preparing an hour before Shmoneh Esrei, an hour after Shmoneh Esrei, an hour during Shmoneh Esrei, but you understand the basic idea, meaning they're operating on a higher level. and so therefore they want to bring the Ashram Talui, they may do so. So Amar Lava Baba Ben Buta. Now the Mishnah transitions to Baba Ben Buta, which I know we've referenced already numerous times. Here's the Mishnah. Now Shayam is not the Ashram Talui b'chol yom chutz mei achar yom kippurim yom echad. Now he would bring the Ashram Talui on a daily basis, and I'm not sure if we're supposed to take this super literally. I don't think you can bring it on Shabbos, but still, yeah, the basic idea. He's bringing it nearly every day, except for the day after Yom Kippur. Now, Amar Hamonazeh Ilu Hayumanichin Li Hayisi Mevi. Now, Baba Ben Buta says, look, it's not my that wouldn't be my druthers. I would bring it every day. I'd bring it the day after Yom Kippur, but I've been advised against it. So Ella Omrim Lo Hamtem Ashi Tikanis LeBeis HaSafek. But they say to Baba Ben Buta, you know what? After Yom Kippur, you're expunged. So we're clean after Yom Kippur. You don't need to bring the Ashram Talui after Yom Kippur. Wait a day. Because again, we're all human. I know I've made this point before, but we're all human and we're all imperfect. So wait for that imperfection to show up. Right? I made this point earlier. You know, it's a classic question. After Yom Kippur, we say, right, Slach lanu, avinu ki chatanu. Right? What just happened? We just had Yom Kippur. And now we're asking for forgiveness? So, okay, good. So, right. And I've heard answers to that question. Over here, basically, you see that right in play. But they say to Baba Ben Buta, you're going to have to wait a day because you can't just bring the Ashram Talui for no reason whatsoever. Now, as I pointed out already, and the Gemara is going to make this very clear, Baba Ben Buta is found like Rebbe Lazar, but it's a modified version of Rebbe Lazar. Rebbe Lazar says Nedava. Nedava, of course, means I can bring it anytime I want. Baba Ben Buta is a modified version of Rebbe Lazar, and the Gemara is going to speak out the subtle differences between Baba Ben Buta and Rav Elazar. The third shita, v'chacham amarmi, mein mevi Ashram Talui ela al shezdono karas v'shigaso chatas. And the shita of the chachamim is, you only bring an Ashram Talui for a formal suffix. Formal suffix means, two pieces in front of me, one was chela, the other was shuman, I ate one of the two, I don't know which one I ate, oh, and the avera has to be karis bearing. If it's not karis bearing, so then you don't bring an Ashram Talui. So for the Chachamim, the Ashram Talui is not an Adava by any stretch of the imagination. It's there for Kapara, and specifically only Kapara of possible Kares Avera. The Mishnah goes on, Chayvei Chataz V'Shamas V'Adayin Sha'avar Aleim Yom HaKippurim. Chayam La'avi L'Acha Yom HaKippurim. Mishnah over here talks about what happens if I have to bring a Karban Chataz definitively. I ate Chalev. I forgot. I ate it by accident. I ate Chalev. And now I have to bring a Karban Chataz for my act of Shogeg. But I wait a little bit, I delay a little bit. Yom Kippur comes and goes. Is Yom Kippur going to clean the slate? So for a chatas vadai, the answer is going to be no, it does not. You're going to have to bring it after Yom Kippur. Chai v'ashamah taluyim peturim. However, that's not true for an Ashram Talui. If a person is obligated to bring an Ashram Talui, and then delays, Yom Kippur comes and goes, for the Ashram Talui, Yom Kippur is going to clean the slate. I know we already said this idea earlier in the Masechta, but here's the Mishnah. Let's say you get onto a suffix and it happens to be that you're in Yom Kippur. You're on Yom Kippur. Obviously, not the best day to have a suffix avera, but it happens. And so, do I need the totality of Yom Kippur in order to clean the slate? And the Mishnah teaches us, and I know we already made this point earlier as well. No, you don't need all of Yom Kippur. You just simply need a part of Yom Kippur in order to provide kapara. Afilu im chashecha pater. As long as it's before sunset, now chashecha I know means night, but I'll just make it nice and clear. If, you know, minutes before sunset there was a suffix, Yom Kippur, that those last minutes of Yom Kippur are going to provide kapara for the suffix. Shekola yom mechaper, the entire day of Yom Kippur is mechaper. Haisha sheyesh ala chatas of suffix, va'aver ala yom kippurim, chayv ala havi la'acha yom kippurim, mibnei shehim achsheres, lecho bezvachem. The Mishnah says, let's say a woman gave birth and suffix. Not sure if it was a fetus, not a fetus. She discharged. She doesn't know what she discharged. And now she has to bring her carbon yoledes. Now over here, let's say Yom Kippur comes and goes. Is Yom Kippur going to resolve that suffix? The answer there is no, says the Mishnah. But it makes a lot of sense. That carbon is not a kapara carbon. That carbon is a machshir carbon. It's allowing her to eat carbonos and to go into the area of the Beis HaMikdash. Yom Kippur can't address that. Yom Kippur can only address kapara. Chatas of abal al safek. If I have a chatas bird which is coming on a safek, im mishen nimlika noda tikaver. If let's say after having done malika, that is the procedure of shechita for a carbon bird. So then you discover that you didn't need to bring it. So tikaver, so it's to be buried. Right? Similar to what we learned earlier this morning in terms of proper disposal of chulin ba'azara. My time at the Rebbe Lazar, we run right into the Gemara. So the Gemara is basically going to struggle a little bit with the first Rebbe Lazar, first version of Rebbe Lazar. Now, if he holds that it's a chov, it's an obligation. So let me ask you a question. So now you discover that you definitely violated the Avera. So then why you bring a carbon chatas? Meaning if the Yashem Tali was an Avera, sorry, if the Yashem Tali was a chova, so now you brought your chova. Elish maminan davahi. Virabanan, I'm sorry, nedavahi. So that means that according to Rabbi Lazar, the way he assigns or categorizes Hashem Tolui, it's a carbon nedava. So the Gemara says, Virabanan, olu shlamim udasa benedar nedava. Avachatus vashem chovaninu. Vashem Tolui, hainu time in the maisim ikamid de misyadale, lagin ala da torachas al gufan shal Yisrael. Now the Chachamim will say, look, our categories are very straightforward. A ola ashlamim, they're nedava. A chatas and an asham, they're chova. And so, in terms of how to properly categorize an asham is a chova. I asham talui, that too is a chova. Well, then, if it's a chova, so then why then do you, if you were to learn after you brought your asham talui, that you definitely violated the avera, so then why are you going to be bringing another carbon? You already brought your obligatory carbon. But the answer is, and I know we said this so many times already, but the Gemara is spelling it out over here. The answer is that the purpose of the Hashem Talui is lahagain. It's there for the purpose of protection. The HaTorah chasa al gufan shel Yisrael. The Torah has compassion over our body, meaning the Torah does not want us suffering in this world. And so therefore, if there is a way to stop the suffering, i.e. bring the Hashem Talui, so then do so. But of the but in terms of categorization, it is the chova, it is not an adava. So really, a fundamental machlokus between the Tanayim, in which category is an Hashem Talui? Does it belong under the category of Nedava, that Shita's Rav Elazar? Or does it belong in the category of Chova, that's the Shita of the Chachamim? Amle Rav Acha, Breda Rav Ela Rav Ashi, Del Ma'ashem Talui, Ka Olo Shlamim, Ma Olo Shlamim, Da'asa B'Chova, V'asa B'Nedava, Ashem Talui Nami, Da'asa B'Chova, Asi Nami B'Nedava. So the Gemara says, well, can't there be like a little bit of flexibility? It doesn't have to be as binary as presented. Meaning, consider, an Ola and a Shlamim. There are Olos, there are Shlamim that come as an obligation. Even Shlamim come as an obligation on rare occasion, but it does. Right, the shlamim of Shavuos, right, the shlamim of a Nazir, right?
The
carbon Pesach, okay, fine, right. The Pesach is a form of a shlamim. So there are shlamim that come as a, that come as a shlamim chagiga. I mean, that happens to be Rashi's example. There are shlamim that come as a chova, and the same thing is true regarding an ola. An ola comes as an obligation, right? The olas that come daily, the olas that come on Yantiv, the ola that comes on the olas that come in Shabbat, there are olas that come as an obligation. So when it comes to olin shlamim, some olin shlamim, or I'll say it like this, the majority of olin shlamim are voluntary. I'm not sure if that's true by olah, but whatever, doesn't matter. And it comes sometimes as a chova, sometimes comes as an adava. And can't you say the same thing by nashim talui? Meaning it could be maybe both. It doesn't have to be either or, it could be both. So the Gemara says, no. Last line on Chafei Amud Aleph. Amar lei olo shlam ikar b'nedav k'siva. Look at the way the Torah presents it. Meaning, of course you're right. Ola and shlam sometimes come as a chova. But if you look at the way the Torah presents it, open up Sefer Vayikra, open up to the beginning of the Sefer, and what you have over there is an ola. An ola being brought as an adava. So fundamentally, or original presentation, the ola is being presented to us as an adava. Asham talu ikar b'chovak siv. Now, as far as the Asham talu is concerned, how is that carbon presented to us? So turn a couple of pages in Vayikra, go to Parakeh, and you'll see the Asham talu over there is being brought because a person possibly violated an avera. And so therefore, he is obligated to bring the Asham talu. So when you look at original presentation of how these carbonas come to us in the Torah, ola is coming as a nedava. Ashram Tali is coming as a chova. Tani Rabbi Chia Kameh de Rava. We are now on the top of the Yamud Beis. Ashram Tali by Al HaNevela. Ashram Tali could be brought over the eating of a nevela. Meaning, let's say you may have eaten a nevela, right? You ate food, and then word comes back, oh, you know what? I might not have gone to the right counter to buy this, right? There was a kosher counter, non-kosher counter. I think I went to the wrong counter. Or the person who bought it says, I think I went to the wrong counter. And so now it's a Safek Isser Nevela. Now the Isser Nevela is a lav in the Torah, but it's not a Chayv Karis. And so the Gemara quotes in the name of Rabbi Chia, the Braisa was taught in front of Rava that you're going to bring an Ashram Taloi. Now this goes against more or less everything we learned. Now, Amr Lei Va'anan Tanan V'Chacham Memarim. So, what do you mean? You're not going to bring an Ashram Toli for that. You bring an Ashram Toli for a Suffolk, that part's true, but you only bring it for a Suffolk where if you did a Bivada, you'd be Chayv Karban Chatas, meaning it's an Issur Kares. Not just for a regular Lav. V'i Rebbe Lazar, okay, fine. So it's not going like the Chachamim. Well, let's look at our other option. What's our other option in the Mishnah, Rebbe Lazar? Rebbe Lazar, that's funny, Rebbe Lazar says you don't even need to have a Suffolk. You could be bringing it as an adava, but adava nami asi. So it's this shita is not going like the chachamim, not going like Rav Elazar. So where are we? So now we're going to finally clarify that really what exists in the Mishnah is a third opinion, meaning that Baba ben Buta position. It really is somewhere in between the Rav Elazar and the chachamim. Rav Elazar and the chachamim are really the extremes of the spectrum, right? Rav Elazar says that the Ashram Tali can behave like an adava. And the Chachamim says it can only behave like a chova. And Baba Ben Buta, somewhere in between. So, Amr Lei, my time, I'm sorry. So, Vishigas Tochatas, E Rav Lazman Adavan Nami Asi, Amr Lei. So he says back to him, my time of Lamasnes Zimnin Lamasnes. So he says to him, you know, why don't you learn this? Or, right, I'll add one word. Why don't you learn it correctly? Meaning, if you spend more time with me, so I would have taught it to you correctly. Zimnin Sagin, many times, Tanisi Kame Mar, I taught this Braisa in front of my master. And Umanu Rava, and my master's Rava, meaning Rava was the Rebbe of Rava. V'amrli, Hamani Rebbe Eliezer he, the Amrlo. It's Rebbe Lazar, but not version number one, Rebbe Lazar, version number two. That's the Amrlo. That's the Chachamim talking to Baba Ben Buta. Did not Ella Omrim Lo, Antin Lo, Ashitikanes Labesa Safek. So remember, Baba Ben Buta says, I'd bring an Ashram Talui every day, except I was told not to bring it the day after Yom Kippur. So, on one hand, in terms of what exactly is going to flag the bringing of the Ashram Talui, so it's a suffix on anything. But it has to be a suffix on something. Meaning the day after Yom Kippur, because Yom Kippur expunged you, and now you have no averas after Yom Kippur. So you have to wait a day until there's a possibility that you violate an avera. Amarava, my time, Adamarlo, what's the reason? I'm a Kra. And so now the sourcing, the Gemara is going to be quoting the drushes, the various drushes that gets us to all these positions. As far as as far as Shita number two of our Mishnah, the Baba Ben Buta version of Rav Elazar, the pasuk says Asher Lo Se'asena VeAshem. Amara he violated a Lo Sa'ase, meaning just simply a lav. A person violates a lav, and again, not even bevadai, just besafek. So that is going to elicit and require a Karban Ashram Tali. Amarava my time at the Rabbanan. The Ami Ein Mevin Ashram Tali. Al Davish Has Done a Kasher Shigasu Chatas. And what would be the reason behind the Chachamim, who limit the bringing of the Ashram Talui only to a scenario in which it's a suffix on an Issur Kares? So, Yalfi mitzvos mechatas chelev. So he learns that Gzereshava that we saw just a couple days ago, but we're reviewing again. Now, you have in the Parsha of Ashram Talui the word mitzvah, by when the Torah introduces us to the chatas, the standard chatas, also using the word mitzvah. Again, just because it's the same word, that's not enough, right? Ain Adam dan gzer shava me'atzmo, ela im ken kibo mirabo. You have to receive it as a mesorah from your rebbe. So presumably, of course, over here there was a mesorah as well. Ma'ala halon shes donu karz v'shigaso chatas afkan davar shes donu karz v'shigaso chatas. So that is the basis of the shita of the chachamim. So far we have now a source for Baba Ben Buta. On a suffix lav, you're going to bring an Ashram Talui. We have the source for the Chachamim, Gzereshava. In any event, we've now fleshed out the positions of Baba Ben Buta and that of the Chachamim in terms of the requirements of Ashram Talui. We'll stop over here. Tomorrow we'll pick it up at the two dots. Let's quickly recap. Okay, today, finishing up the first mission of the sixth parak of the Masechta, discussions revolving around having an Ashram Talui, but then discovering that you don't need the Ashram Talui. At what point do you discover it? Before Shechita, after Shechita, before Zrikas Adam, after Zrikas Adam, and the Shechita of Rav Yossi, Afilo Adam Bekos, even if the blood is in the cup, that also serves as that would serve as a good Ashram Talui. The Gemara then launched into a lengthy discussion regarding the Egla Rufa. At what point does it have the status of Egla Rufa? Machlokus amongst the Amorayim. Rav is of the opinion that it becomes Egla Rufa, status Egla Rufa, Asar Bana, at the point of Arifa. Rav Hamanuna says, Yiridasa l'nachal Esa. And the Gemara went back and forth in terms of supporting both positions, attacking both positions, based on various Mishnayos and Brisos. Okay, and it ends in a stalemate. Machlokus between the Amorayim. Next Mishnah that we started today, the Asham Tolui. Is it a carbon Adava? Is it a carbon Chova? Is it something somewhere in between? So various opinions in the Mishnah. Rav Elazar, it's an Adava. It's a carbon Adava. And again, I submit that according to Rav Elazar, also being brought for a Safek, but on top of that could be brought voluntarily. Person wants to bring an Asham Tolui, he could do so anytime he wants. The sheet of the Chachamim is that no, it has to be a formal suffix. And according to the Chachamim, it has to be a formal suffix over an Isser Kares. And then there's that middle position, the middle position of Baba Ben Buta, who says, Hamtain, you have to wait a day after Yom Kippur. Meaning that it has to come on a suffix Avera, doesn't have to be an Isser Kares, could just simply be a Lav, but there has to be some element of suffix so that you bring the Ashram Tolui.